What is up? It's the Pro Football Focus Fantasy Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it's Friday, May 10th, 2019. The NFL draft long in the rearview mirror, seemingly now, and lots going on around the dynasty world, lots going on in the NFL, player props, best ball. It's a great time for football, even though the NFL isn't technically playing. Football never stops. So there's a lot to get to on the show today. And I want to dive right in to one of the bigger stories of the week, that being that the Seahawks released Doug Baldwin. Not a huge surprise, right? Nobody out there would be completely shocked by this. We expected after the news from the draft that he was considering retirement, that the injury is a lot more significant than maybe we initially anticipated. It's not a huge shocker. And I think there's a couple things that we can take away from this. First and foremost, the big takeaway, since it is dynasty season, is, you know, you have to be really careful with wide receivers when they get into that 29, 30-year-old range. Because let's just look at Doug Baldwin's career here. You know, from the standpoint of fantasy purposes, Doug Baldwin has been one of the better fantasy wideouts over the last, what, half decade or so, right? Started his career out kind of slow for fantasy purposes. He really wasn't a factor back in 2011, 2012, 2013 even. You know, we knew he was a decent player, but he just kind of looked like your prototype slot receiver, you know, sort of traditional slot receiver who wasn't going to do much damage for fantasy purposes. 2014 showed a little, you know, some signs of life, flashes, if you will. He had 66 catches. He had almost 100 targets, 825 yards. And we're like, okay, this dude can play football, but can he actually be a fantasy factor? Well, of course, that all changes in 2015. That was when he had that remarkable run at the end of the season where seemingly he was scoring touchdowns at will, scored 14 touchdowns that season, which is an enormous number. To get double digits is big enough. 14 is a huge year. Goes over 1,000 yards, topped 100 targets for the first time in his career. Then he proceeds to rattle off two more straight seasons, so three straight seasons where he goes over 100 targets. In 2016, he caught 94 balls, 1,120 yards. He never got close to that 14 touchdowns again, by the way. But he was a big-time fantasy factor 2015, 2016, 2017. In fantasy draft season, I mean, there was a good point there, especially 2016, 2017, where we were considering this dude as a fringe wide receiver one. And basically, anytime he wasn't a fringe wide receiver one, he was a wide receiver two on everybody's board, you know? So all of a sudden, I mean, you go from 2017 where he's still a fantasy factor. He doesn't go over 1,000 yards, but he caught 8 touchdown passes, 991, 75 catches. To last year, we knew entering the season he was a little banged up, but he was, you know, for the most part, off the fantasy radar for a good chunk of the year. So he went from 2017 wide receiver two, consensus, to 2018, not a fantasy factor, 2019, likely out of the league. This happens very quickly. And let's be clear, Doug Baldwin, 30, he turned 30. So last year was his age 30 season. He'll turn 31 in September. It happens very quickly. And I had a little exchange with somebody on social media about Adam Thielen. Basically, my point was I would be looking to trade Adam Thielen right now if I can get the right price. Because the name of the game, whether you're trading in redraft, whether you're trading in dynasty, is to get value. It's the stock market. It's all the same concept. Buy low, sell high. It's the same concept. That's why right now, if you're somebody who's trading away Todd Gurley, you're losing value. Because obviously the market's depressed on Todd Gurley. Everybody's afraid. I'm afraid of the knee. But you know what? If I can get Todd Gurley for 75 cents on the dollar in a dynasty league right now at 24 years old, I'm going to take that shot. I'm not paying full price for him, so I'm going to take that shot. You have to sometimes take these shots. It's the, you know, Warren Buffett, be greedy when everybody else is fearful. So you take that shot on a guy like Todd Gurley. Now, in the same right, if I can sell Adam Thielen at 29 years old this season for $1.25 on the dollar, where I'm getting more value than I probably should, I'm also going to do that because you don't want to be left with Doug. Look how fast this happened for Doug Baldwin. Look how fast it happened for Jordy Nelson. Look how fast it happened for Dez Bryant. I mean, all of these guys went from being wide receiver twos, wide receiver ones to almost out of the league or out of the league. You know, Dez, we may never see Dez play again. We're probably not going to see Doug Baldwin play again. I don't know about Jordy Nelson, but he's not going to be a fantasy factor anymore. It happens quickly. Now, that's not to knock Doug Baldwin at all. Everybody has their expiration date unless you're Tom Brady. Well, even Tom Brady's going to have an expiration date in the NFL. Everybody does. Wide receiver, I'm looking to move these guys once they get to about 29. And I could sit here and claim to be holier than thou, and I have the foresight. It's hindsight with Doug Baldwin. But it's another case in point. It's another one of these guys. Like Antonio Brown, I believe in him this year. But in a dynasty league, if I had Antonio Brown well north of 30 at this point, I am trading him. If I can get full value or better than full value on Antonio Brown, which is tough to get better, his value is pretty darn high, I'm trading him. I'm getting rid of him. It's an important lesson in dynasty leagues that we absolutely need to embrace. And, you know, Doug Baldwin's just another one of those examples. But a fond farewell to Doug Baldwin. Now, another point to be made here, though. I was down at the draft. I broadcasted on Sirius XM. And it was a great broadcast. If you are a Sirius XM subscriber, I always recommend listening to us during the draft because you get an instant fantasy analysis. It's not the puff pieces that you get on network television. It's us telling you what we think for fantasy purposes. And we don't all agree. I mean, I was going back and forth with John Hansen in points where we disagreed. And that's healthy because, hey, neither one of us knows everything. We may act like it, but we don't know everything. But one of the Roster Watch guys, shout out to our friends over there at Roster Watch, pointed out that the NFL draft is essentially the one time where teams can't lie. They can't lie. The coach can go to the podium. The GM can go to the podium. The owner can go to the podium if the owner talks and lie. Straight up lie or dance around the truth. We know they do it. They do it. You probably would if you were in their position too. But at the draft, this is the one time these guys can't lie. They can't lie. The Seahawks drafted 3 wide receivers. They can't lie. They knew this was coming. They knew it before we did. They drafted DK. They drafted Jennings. And, you know, they drafted Ursula in the end of the draft, more of a slot receiver. But you got 2 guys who can stretch the field to go along with Tyler Lockett. I mean, DK's in a prime position here. And we are hearing favorable things from Pete Carroll. Of course, I just said, though, the coaches can lie. But he said he doesn't see any problem with the ability to run routes. Now, I do think that sometimes in the pre-draft process, we just want to find fault with players. I mean, that's part of what the scouts do. That's part of what the draftniks do, right? But sometimes the fantasy crowd embraces that. And sometimes fantasy players fancy themselves as draftniks. It happens. I get it. The draft's infectious. The draft's awesome. There's no denying it. But part of that is that we try and find fault with everybody. DK Metcalf is a physical freak. He has size, speed, athleticism that you can't teach. Does he have wiggle? Not necessarily. Am I worried about that for fantasy purposes? Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. And if we're hearing encouraging things, that means they're going to get this guy on the field. And so in the interesting prop bet that I found, rookie wide receiver with the most first-year touchdowns. And there are, let's see, there are 7 wideouts listed. Marquise Brown, N'Keal Harry, DK Metcalf, Deebo Samuel, AJ Brown, Mecole Hardman, and Paris Campbell. So DK is the favorite, but it's plus 130. So it's not like he's like minus 200 or something. So plus 130 for him. Then Marquise Brown is plus 150. N'Keal Harry at plus 200. Mecole Hardman at plus 300, and then AJ and Paris. Deebo is at plus 400. AJ and Paris are at plus 700. I don't mind right now. I think DK is, I agree, clearly the favorite here. And to get plus 130, this is a great time to put out some prop bets. I don't mind that one at all right there. So I'd be placing some shekels on that one if I was so inclined. So, you know, there you have it. Fond farewell, though, to Doug Baldwin. He was certainly a strong fantasy asset for us for a couple years there, which is, you know, hey, we always have to, tip the cap to those guys. Couple other notes that I wanted to get to here before I dive into some of the other stuff that I want to do. I do want to talk a little bit more about some player props and then quickly about a dynasty rookie draft that's going on for me currently. Talk about some rookie draft strategy. But Telvin Smith not going to play in 2019. Very interesting. He said he's got to take time away from the game, get his world in order. He's got to give time back to himself and his family and his health. So we did see this team draft Josh Allen. Josh Allen has a little Anthony Barr to his game, so it'd be interesting to see if they end up playing him off ball. They drafted Quincy Williams as well. This is another instance where teams can't lie, right? So this one is interesting. We'll keep an eye on that Jaguars defense. But Telvin Smith has been a huge part of that defense for some time. But as I mentioned, I want to dive into some player props. If you've listened to me before, you know I love me some player props because, see, it's a natural transition if you're a fantasy player. If you're a fantasy player and you're anything like me, maybe you struggle a little bit when you bet against the spread or you try and bet over-unders because it's kind of a different world. When you're predicting team play, it's very different than predicting individual play. Like, we don't care if the team wins or loses if our guy goes off, right? Our guy could go off, our running back could go for a 150 and two scores, and the team lose, and it doesn't matter, right? We're good. So it's that weird transition. So player props is a much more natural transition. You're picking player performance as opposed to team performance. And then the better part about it is you don't have to face, unlike in a redraft league where you're facing, you know, 11 opponents through the course of the season, or a DFS contest where you're facing hundreds, if not thousands, of different lineups, or even best ball, you know, same thing, you know, a dozen or 11 opponents in a 12-team league. You're just playing against the house. And unlike against the spread, where I think the house does have an advantage over me, I'm fairly confident now, after doing it for a number of years, but I still think the house knows what the heck they're doing there. Unlike there, I think we have the advantage in player props. I really do. And so I like to attack it during the season, weekly player props, absolutely. And, you know, in the offseason, if you're picking and choosing your spots, you can get some good odds at various points if you're looking at season-long player props. So, you know, it's just something to be thinking about, especially as the legal landscape is changing here. You know, I know you New Jersey folks, you're good to go if you're in Vegas. Obviously, you've been good to go for quite some time. A couple of their states have, you know, I'm in Pennsylvania and online is going to be legalized pretty soon here. I think it's next month, to be honest with you. I could already go to a casino and place wagers on sports. So it's a different world. So we have to start paying more attention to this because remember, you know, if you're really serious about this, you're not just playing to win a trophy in a league with your buddies. You're probably playing to make a few dollars on the side, right? It's a side hustle. That's what it is. And you have an advantage here potentially. So let's talk about some of these player props. These are season-long player props that I found pretty interesting. And we're going to start with a obviously very intriguing player right now, Kyler Murray. It is a passing yards prop. And the line is 3,100.5 yards. Over minus 250, under plus 190. So obviously big time favor for the over there. And you know, I don't like to, you know, typically bet too chalky unless I'm really, really confident. You know, in this instance, I am quite confident. Our PFF projection for Kyler Murray is 3,466 yards. That's a big cushion there. I mean, you're talking over a 350-yard cushion, which is essentially a game's, well, more than a game's worth of passing yards of a cushion there. I think that's an easy bet to take the over on. Again, it's not going to pay out that much, but it's an easy one for me. Now, here's an interesting one that I found, and this is sort of the natural conversation that I think is going to play out for fantasy purposes as well. Juju versus Antonio, and there's both a touchdown and a receiving yards, and basically it's who has more. And there's nobody's giving any yards or touchdowns. It's, you know, straight up who has more. In terms of touchdowns, Juju plus 175, Antonio minus 220. Currently, we actually have Juju with 0.3 touchdowns more. We have him at 9.5, Antonio at 9.2. That is not significant enough of a gap for us to take either side of that, though. So, you know, you have to pass on some of these as well. That's a pass for me. Same with yards, actually. So we have the odds are Juju plus 115, Antonio minus 140. Juju, we have a 1376, Antonio 1419. So it's you know, under 50 yards difference between the two. It's not enough of a cushion to decisively take one side or the other. However, I will say that there are some props out there for Antonio's yards and touchdowns. So his yards over under 1,200.5, and it's minus 110 on either side. And I think this is an easy over We have him at 14-19. That's a 200-plus yard cushion, almost a 220-yard cushion there. I think that's an easy over for Antonio Brown. His receiving touchdowns are at 9.5, and again, minus 110 on either side. At 9.2, there's just not enough of a cushion there to take either side of that bet. So we'll pass on that one. Let's go to his former teammate, Le'Veon Bell. This one is interesting. Rushing yards, over under 1,032.5. It's minus 135 over, plus 105 under. We're projecting him at 1,027. So that's just 5.5 yards away from the line. That's a really good line. I'm not touching that line. Not touching that one. But here's the one I am touching. And this is probably the bet that I'm most confident on. Le'Veon Bell, regular season rushing touchdowns. The line is 9.5. Over is plus 120, under is minus 150. I think that should be like minus 300. You know, it's crazy. I'll take that minus 150 easily. We're projecting Le'Veon Bell at 5.2 rushing touchdowns. That's it. He has never topped 9 rushing touchdowns in his career. Career high was 9 in 2017. So he has never had a double-digit rushing touchdown season. So if you were taking the over, you would be banking on that to be the first time in his career with the Jets. Give me the under. Run, place this wager before either the line changes or the odds change on this one. Let's do Odell Beckham Jr. Regular season receiving yards, 1,100.5 over, minus 200 under, plus 155. That's an easy over for me. We have him at 1,370, so another nice cushion there. You have over 250 yards of a cushion. I like that one. However, the over-under for his receiving touchdowns is spot on at 8.5. That's what we projected him at, so I'm not going to touch that one. One more, just for fun. It's funny, like you have these like huge names, right? Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Odell Beckham Jr., Juju, right? Kyler, and Jason Witten. Jason Witten yards. Over under 470.5. The over is plus 120. The under is minus 150. I'm actually going to take the over on this one because we have him at 522. It's not a huge cushion. So I'm not going to place a lot of, as they like to say, units on this particular bet. But I like it enough where I am going to place, you know, a small wager on it. You get favorable odds. And plus, like part of this, I mean, I'm selfish. I like to root for things. You know, I can't, in this era, like for me, or at this point in my career, it's hard for me to be a fan of a team. Everybody assumes when I'm in Philadelphia that I'm like this huge Eagles fan. I was happy when they won the Super Bowl, but like I'm not yelling and screaming at my TV like I was 15 years ago. It's more, you know, I want to see my predictions right. I want to, you know, do well on my wagers and my DFS lineups and my best ball leagues and my season long and my dynasty. And sometimes I like to root for a little something. So I'm going to place the over and I'm just going to be rooting for that. You know, just get to 500 would be nice, but, you know, get to 471. I think Witten could do it. It's not a big number. And, you know, his touchdowns, I don't think he scores a lot. I think we haven't projected at 3. I think that's fair. But 522 yards is a fair projection as well, and that's a nice little over. So I'm going to root for that this season. So there you have some player props. We'll check back in on these throughout the offseason here. I think these are really interesting. And, you know, search around, see if you can find the best odds. I mean, some of you might be in a place where, you're not legal in the U.S., but there are ways to do things. I won't get into those on this particular podcast, but you probably know what I'm talking about. Anyway, last thing I wanted to talk about today is the SiriusXM Dynasty League. So this is a pretty cool league. It's a 32-team league. Yes, 32. Now, it's two separate conferences of 16 teams, and each one has their own player pool. So it's not like, you know, it's not that deep. It's still pretty darn deep, though. 16-team leagues are big, you know, they're adult leagues. There's no doubt about it. So anyway, 16-teamer. Full IDP, and when I mean full, I mean defensive tackles, cornerbacks, all of that. I'm not that huge on IDP these days, but it is what it is, and I've been in this league for years. But what I love about this league is the rookie draft. So the rookie draft is currently going on. And last year I was sort of mid-pack. I have the 1-7 pick. So not a great season for me last year. Not a terrible season. I've been in rebuild mode for the last 2 years, give or take. And, you know, I think that this is a very interesting topic here, first and foremost, is how do you approach a rookie draft? And I'll tell you what, the number one mistake that I see with people in dynasty rookie drafts is they draft for team need and not for value, right? In a rookie draft, think about it. Typically, your rookie drafts, you have what? Five picks? Six picks? Is it five or six rounds? You might be able to trade for a couple extra picks, but you're not drafting 16 players or 20 players, or, you know, especially like a deep dynasty startup, you know, 35, 40 players, whatever you draft in those deep startup leagues. It's such a small amount of players that if you draft for need, what you could end up potentially doing is reaching and letting value slip down the board. And this is going to be a theme that I'm going to continue to develop. I talked about it in the offseason last year. So if you listen to this podcast before, you've heard me say this. If you haven't, well, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the Rat Pack family. Drafts are a competition as well. It's not just about playing your opponent in a game on, you know, in week five or whatever. You have to treat the draft as something that you have to win as well. And if you let value fall down the board, you're letting your opponent win. Here you go. Would you like some value? And I'm not willing to do that. So I'm drafting for value based on my board. I am not drafting for team need. And I'm going to tell you, with this draft, this is exactly what played out. Because with my current roster, so right now, with my current roster, I am not in the best shape when it comes to my running backs, right? I have a need at running back with this roster. So let me run down through my running backs for you currently on this roster here. So I am sitting with Christian McCaffrey. Okay, that's good. Jamal Williams. That's not so good. Malcolm Brown. Jordan Wilkins. And DeAndre Washington. I crap you not. Those are my running backs. Now, to be fair, I have Patrick Mahomes and Matt Ryan, so they did pretty well last year. I have a decent wide receiver group that's features Mike Evans. I mean, I have Julian Edelman getting up there, but, you know, still solid. Calvin Ridley, Kiki QT. It's a solid group. It's a solid group. Deshaun Hamilton. I have some nice young talent in that group. Decent enough at tight end where I have Austin Hooper as my top guy. He's a top 10 guy in Dynasty, so I'm solid there. I have a huge need at running back. I have a huge need at running back. So, in this draft, at the 1-7, if there is one of three running backs at 1-7, I will take them. Josh Jacobs, obviously, and he's not going to get to me. I know that. David Montgomery probably won't get to me. Miles Sanders, maybe he gets to me. This is what I'm thinking heading into the draft. Maybe, just maybe, he gets to me. And if he does, I'll pounce. So here's how the draft goes. First pick overall, N'Keal Harry actually goes, which I found pretty interesting. Wide receivers can have some long-term value, but it takes a little bit of time. I think Josh Jacobs was the clear pick here, but whatever. N'Keal Harry's still a top five pick. So Josh Jacobs goes two. David Montgomery goes three. Miles Sanders goes four. So there my running backs are out of the mix, right? After that, TJ Hockenson goes at five, which is, you know, I think a little bit early, but I get it. And then DK Metcalf. Now, if Metcalf would have fallen to me, that would have been my top five, would be the three running backs, Harry and Metcalf. So if Metcalf would have fallen to me at seven, it would have been an easy decision. Top guy on my board, boom, I take him, right? But here's the thing. I have a need at running back. The next running back on my board is Darrell Henderson. And I am not willing to take Darrell Henderson at number seven overall. Because what ends up happening there is I'm reaching on Darrell Henderson. I'm going to reach on Darrell Henderson, which means then that value is going to slip down the board and I'm going to give an advantage to my opponents. And I'm just not willing to do that, right? I'm not willing to do that. It's just, it's a bad move. So I look to my board here, and Darrell Henderson, you know, there were receivers that I would have had ahead of him as well. Despite my need at running back, I do not select a running back. What I actually do here is, this is a 16-team league, and quarterbacks are pretty valuable in 16-teamers. They're more valuable than in 12-teamers because there are fewer available. So if you're hurting at quarterback in this league, you're kind of screwed. I am not hurting at quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, Matt Ryan, two top, the number one overall dynasty quarterback and a top 10 guy. I drafted Kyler Murray. I took Kyler at 1-7. This is not a need, but you know what? He was by far the most valuable player on this board. I think in a 12-teamer, you move him down the board a little bit, probably 9th or 10th overall pick. I'm fine with that. But in this format, I would have him at 6, right? I'd have the top 5 guys and then Kyler. So for me, best value on the board. And you know what happened? Immediately, I end up getting trade offers for Kyler Murray. Because people are, I had a couple of people say, well, you were set at quarterback. We didn't think you were going to draft him. Why did you draft him? What do you want for him? And, you know, I'm still working through. I don't think I'm going to get rid of him immediately, though, because, you know, the shelf life is extremely long, and it's an intriguing pick that, again, it's I didn't let value slip down. The guys after me, a couple picks after me, needed quarterbacks, and I didn't let them get one. So took the best player on the board instead of addressing a team need. Now, I still need a running back, right? So from here, it is IDP, so Nick Bosa goes next. Defensive ends in IDP leagues have a lot of value. Paris Campbell, A.J. Brown, 111 is Damian Harris. 112 is Daryl Henderson, so he's not getting to me. I knew he wasn't going to. Then Noah Fant, Devin Bush, Mecole Hardman, Deebo Samuel. That rounds out the first round. So I'm going to pick 2-7 in the second round. No, I didn't acquire any extra picks. So just sitting right there. The round starts out Marquise Brown, which that's a nice value to get him there. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Dwayne Haskins goes at 2-3, which is fine. It's a 19th overall pick, and again, there's more value to quarterbacks in this league. Then Quinnen Williams goes, so defensive tackle. Cleveland Farrell goes at 2-5, a defensive end. Then at 2-6, the guy who I probably would have taken if he fell to me was Devin Singletary. I think that's a fine spot to take Devin Singletary. He was the next guy up on my board. Now, again, I'm up. I need a running back. And if I look to my board, the next guy on my board is Justice Hill. Now, the thing about Justice Hill, unlike Devin Singletary, and I do have a little bit of a gap between Devin Singletary and Justice Hill, is I don't believe Justice Hill to ever be a three-down guy. I think he's going to be a pretty good pass-catching back out of the backfield, but he's not going to be a three-down guy very likely. I think Singletary could be. So that's why I would have prioritized Singletary. I don't think you're getting immediate return on investment in either of those guys. So despite my need at running back, I don't address that need. Because see, the thing about it too, and you might be thinking, well, why aren't you addressing your need? You can try and do that through trades later on. You know, you can work trades. Don't ever be afraid to work trades. In dynasty leagues especially, where people are more willing to potentially work out deals with you. So I can address that through trades. So I'm going to take the best player on the board. And if you notice, there's one name that I have not said yet, and that name is Hakeem Butler. I took Hakeem Butler, even though I have a decent group of wide receivers, at 2-7, the 23rd pick overall. I actually have him on my 12-team board just a tick ahead of Devin Singletary as the number 13 overall player. So in this format, maybe he's the 14th overall player, still right in that range. I'm getting 10 picks worth of value basically on him. I know some in the industry have Hakeem Butler as a top 3 wide receiver in this class. And you'll notice I stacked my dude. I stacked Kyler Murray with this pick. I don't mind that whatsoever. And it's the lesson that essentially I'm trying to teach here. Don't draft for need. If I would have let Hakeem Butler fall one more spot, you know, sure, okay, I would have gotten Justice Hill or whatever, but then I let value fall to an opponent. I'm not going to let them win. Neither should you. You know, your number one goal is win at all costs and win at everything you do when it's regarding fantasy football, DFS, gambling, any of that stuff, right? And in this instance here, you got to win on draft day. So it's an important point to make. Be careful. Don't let value slip down the board and get those best players, you know, when they're available. Because you know what? A lot of people, and even in the industry, even industry folks, seasoned vets, are going to focus on their team and their team needs, and they're going to let value slip down the board. It especially happens in your home leagues, whether it's a dynasty rookie draft, dynasty startup draft, redraft, PPR, two quarterback, whatever. It's going to happen. So make your opponents pay for it, and that's what I'm intending to do here. I'll update you on this in the coming, next week, because we should wrap this up. It takes a little while, but I'll update you on that. And then coming up on the next podcast, I want to talk a little bit about best ball. We'll talk some overvalued, undervalued guys. We'll hit that up early in the week next week. and the podcast will continue to roll on. Go check out ProFootballFocus.com, and on Twitter, I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe. Remember, hashtag Rat Pack. That tells me you're a listener of the show, and you're officially cool. All right, I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. For Pro Football Focus, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.